Good evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. If you could open your Bibles with me this evening to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter 18. And I'm just going to be reading from verses 5 to verse 16. 1 Samuel chapter 18, starting at verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Let's just open in a word of prayer. So let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is living word and it speaks to us every day. And Lord, as we come and open your word this evening, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us through your word, as, Lord, you've spoken to me. And Lord, we just pray that you'll just help us to concentrate just for these few moments while we look at your word this evening. We pray your Holy Spirit will open your word to us and let us see things, Lord, from your word that we need to see for our lives. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as many of you know, when I've been looking at young King David, the young David before he became king, and this is where we're up to in the story, and I'd like just to carry on with that this evening. The subject tonight I'd like to look at, if I could just put into one word, it would be the word jealousy. The word jealousy. And as we're looking at young David, in the last few times we've looked at him, we could say that everything for David at the moment was going very well. He was doing very well. God was blessing him. And it says there in verse 5 that he went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely. And we also see here that Saul had set him over the men of war. And not only that, it says here that he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. David was he was doing very well. Seems like everything was very rosy for David at this time. He had conquered the Goliath, the giant, and the Lord through him had enabled a great victory for the Israelites. He had got a great friend, as we saw last time, in Jonathan. And so if we were to look at David's life, we would say that his life was going very, very well. He was working his way up the ladder, and it was all going very fast, very quickly for him. He loved the Lord, and God had blessed him abundantly. But this was all about to change, as we'll see this evening. My first point I'd like to see this evening, I've called it the entrance. The entrance. If we have a look in verse 6 here, we see, and it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. We see that they were coming back from the defeat of the Philistines. And this was a joyful time for Israel. This was a great time. And there was great joy and celebration, as we can see here. There was singing and music playing. Not only was this a celebration of David conquering the Philistine Goliath, but also the Israelites' victory over the Philistines in general. And so we see that they all came out to meet King Saul and the armies as they came back from the war they had just fought. Now, normally this music would have made the king very happy. But as we go on to see, it did not make him happy, and it was the content of their song that made him not very happy. My second point I'd like to see is the exaggeration. And if we have a look in verse 7, we see this. It says, "And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. So we see this, as they sang, they rehearsed this between one another, that Saul had slain thousands, and David had slain 10,000s. I think the women were simply excited by what had happened, and I think this can happen to anyone. They sort of just got carried away in the moment. I don't believe that they meant for it to come across like it did. And in their joyful, happy moment, their praise for the armies of Israel and for King Saul and for David exalted young David's status above that of King Saul's. Do you know, as I was reading and thinking this, I think we can do this sometimes when we praise another. And it's great to praise another person and lift them up, but we've got to watch that while we're putting someone else and praising them, that we're not pushing anyone else down. It's something that can happen so easily. But this is what this song, or this chant that they did, that's what it did. It exalted David over King Saul. Now, I think all of us in some stage in our lives have been guilty of making an exaggeration. I know I have. You know, exaggerate the truth. You know, the fish was like this big, a caught. And I'm not much of a fisherman. No. But we all exaggerate things, I think, a bit. And I think this was a simple exaggeration in the moment. But for these ladies, the exaggeration of the truth became the start of David's suffering. You know, as I was looking at this, I thought to myself, what we say not only just affects us, but affects others, doesn't it? There's been so many things that I've said in life. If I could take them back, I would. But once they've been said, they can't be taken back. We have to be careful what we say, because we know what the tongue can do. You know, in James 1 and 26, James says this, "If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." And he goes on in James 3, he says this, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Now, this song that these women sang, whether they meant to or not, it actually started a fire. It's a fire that King Saul himself could not contain. Now, we've got to be careful not to blame the women here. The women, I do not believe, meant for anything to come of this. And it shouldn't have blown up like it did. But they were just having a happy song that actually got carried away. But it didn't have the desired effect of as what they thought the women would, as they were trying to lift up everyone as they were coming back from the conflict with the Philistines. It didn't make King Saul happy anyway. And so my next point I'd like to see, I've called this point the explosion. And in verse 8 we see this, and it says, And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Do you know, King Saul was not happy, to say the least. And you know, if this is where the story ended, that King Saul, he got a bit angry and he just left it, then no harm would have been done. You know, to be angry at something, as long as it doesn't cause a sin, is not sin in itself. Someone can be disappointed or to be displeased with what's been said, but to carry on to the next level is where it becomes sin. You know, Ephesians 4:26 says this, it says, Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. King Saul could have been upset with what was said, and then just left it and let it go. And that's what he should have done. No harm was meant by it, but because he let it well up within him, harm did come because of it. He let his anger take hold of him. And it says here he was very wroth. I can imagine this words probably don't describe it as it was. It just runs over the top of it, but I can imagine King Saul being very wroth. It wouldn't have been fun to be around him. And then he says in the last part of verse 8, he says this, and this phrase sort of grabbed me here. It said, And what can he have more but the kingdom? What can he have more? What more can he have? David had been exalted more than King Saul just for a moment here. You can hear the jealousy in this statement. You can hear how tense he is. You can hear how angry he is through his statement here. What can he have more but the kingdom? Do you know, if I just stopped at this point, what King Saul said here sort of struck me. What can he have more? Now, let's look at what David had at this time. Now, David was looking after his father's sheep, so he didn't own the sheep. He had a staff, it says there, and a scrip and a sling. He had shepherd's clothes. He had the set of clothes that Jonathan had just given him in the few verses before. He had Jonathan's sword and Jonathan's bow. And reading back through the passages, that's about all I can find that David had at the moment. That's all he had. And let's think for a moment what King Saul had. He was king, for number one. He had servants and lands, palaces and chariots. Whatever he asked for, he received. He was the king. But he wanted more. He was jealous of David. What did David have? David had just one small thing. In this case, he had become popular, hadn't he? David, he was accepted by the people, we read in verse 5. He had won the hearts of the people. And I believe this wasn't in David's behalf deliberate. I believe that the Lord was just blessing David. God had blessed him because he followed him with all his heart. As I thought about this, how often does this happen with us? We have so much that God has blessed us with, and yet we want more. We want more. It's in our selfly, fleshly nature to want more, isn't it? If you look at all the advertisements on the television, they're all about the word more. You want more. Do you want more? In our society today, materialism is becoming probably one of the greatest threats to our society. Everyone just wants to get as much as they can. But you know, as for David here, this jealousy that Saul had was going to cause him a lot of grief. Let's go on and have a look here. The next point I've called the eye. The eye. We all know about this. It says in verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. I think we've all had that eye, that look. You know, I think mothers are the best at giving their children the eye. You know, do you know that there's that look that they know that there's trouble coming? And I thought about this statement that Saul eyed David, I just picture my mother when she used to look at me when I'd done the wrong thing. You know, there was that look, and you knew that, whoa, it's going to be trouble. You know, but this for David, I think he would have known that when Saul eyed him, it said he just didn't eye him just there. It was from that day and forward. He had Saul's attention on him, and it wasn't attention that he wanted to have. It was the attention of jealousy. This day would be a changing point in the life of David. For Saul, his pride and his sin of jealousy would make him to hate David for no cause. And as we go on, we'll see how much grief this caused David. And if we go on, we'll have a look what happened on the next day. It says in verse 10, and it came to pass on the morrow, or on the next day, that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. You think about this, it struck me, David had just been a war hero. He'd just come back from war. And he returns to the position of being the harp player in the corner. Now, this struck me as being a very humble act, wasn't it? You think of the humility to come back from being even exalted above Saul and having some lots of honour being given him to playing his harp in the corner. It's a picture of humility. Do you know, even though sometimes we think that we become these great people, the humble tasks in life are still ours to enjoy. I was only thinking this the other day. Do you know, it doesn't matter who we become, there's still washing up to do. Do you know, there's still the washing to do. There's still weeding the garden or vacuuming the floor. There's still, no matter how great a person we become in the church has still got to be cleaned. No matter how exalted we become, there's still tasks that we should do. And it involves humility. I also thought that, you know, maybe helping someone who needs help, maybe going and talking to someone who hasn't got a lot of friends. There's so many tasks that we can do, and we can actually show the love of God to others through these tasks. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. It's not singling anyone out. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We are to be clothed with humility. We are to be covered in it. We are to be known by it. Do you know, as I was growing up as a young fella, there was a man in the church at Connell Park. His name was Mr. Jeffress. A lot of you know Mr. Jeffress. And once there, I remember him, even as a little fellow, he would always come and shake my hand and say hi. And he would often come over to our place. And I remember he had a Volvo. He had this Volvo car. Do you remember the Volvo car? He had this Volvo car. And I used to go for rides. He'd take us somewhere in this Volvo car. And you know, one thing I remember about Mr. Jeffress was that he was a lovely man and he was humble. He was just the most humble man, wasn't he? And he loved the Lord and he was just clothed in it. His life just showed it. Well, it did to me anyway, it did to me. And it was a great thing to look at that. And you know, as I thought about this, God wants us to be humble. And David, as he went there and he went back to that harp, playing it with his hand, I believe it was a great picture of humility. Do you know that it says here that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. So the evil spirit was back upon Saul. Saul was resisted by God, maybe because of his pride. Maybe it was because of his pride. That verse there says, "For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble." The next point I'd like to see, and I've called this the evil. Isn't it sad how jealousy can change someone? Let's have a look at the last part of verse 10 there. It says this, "And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice." How can someone change because of jealousy? David was in King Saul's palace or in his presence by invitation. King Saul had asked him to be there to play the harp. And then King Saul makes an attempt on David's life. King Saul's sin has progressed to this. And you know, unconfessed sin will keep on working in a person's mind. And as it progresses, we see the progression here in King Saul. Saul heard what the women had said. Saul was angry. He was displeased. He became jealous. He began to eye David. And then lastly, he tries to throw a javelin at him. Can we see there the progression of sin? If the sin was confessed when it first arose, it wouldn't have gone this far. Sin has taken hold on him. Why? Because he allowed it to continue in his thoughts, then into his personality, then into his speech, then finally into his actions. Sin left unconfessed will grow in our lives. We have to be careful of it. And this went on with King Saul, and it became worse and worse. The next point I'd like to see is the exclusion. I've called it the exclusion because King Saul removed David. Let's have a look at verse 12 and 13. And it says, "And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people." The exclusion. Saul became afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Afraid because David was doing what was right. David was putting God first and doing what was right. It could be seen, the Lord working in his life. The Lord could be seen in him. God's could be seen in him. God could be seen in him. And so Saul removed him from his role that he had originally given him. And he reduced his position to captain over 1,000 soldiers. Do you know that those who are not right with God struggle to be around the people who love the Lord with all their hearts? If you are struggling to be around people that love the Lord, it's time for you to have a look at your heart. Where are you at? Are you like King Saul, unwilling to deal with your sin? It's dangerous ground to allow our sin to progress. The sin starts in one of the senses, comes through the eyes or the ears, comes in and it dwells in the mind. And if it's allowed to continue, it comes out in our lives. Do you know, looking at David here, David could have felt discouraged here. After being put over the men of war, he hadn't done anything wrong to be reduced to this position of a centurion over 1,000 soldiers. But we don't read anything about that. It says that he behaved himself wisely. Saul was afraid of him. The Lord was with him. Lastly, I'd like to see the example. The example. It says here, and David behaved himself wisely, so in verse 14, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. David behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with him. It was clear to see. Saul could see it. And Saul became afraid of him. You think about that. Saul, King Saul, became afraid of David. King Saul, the man with a spear or a javelin in his hand, was afraid of the man with a harp in his. It struck me that David at this time was no threat to King Saul. We know that David had been secretly anointed to be king. It doesn't tell us here whether Saul knew this or not. I suspect not, but King Saul became afraid of David because he behaved himself very wisely. It's a unusual statement, isn't it? Someone that actually behaves himself wisely can make a great king and a great soldier afraid of them. David here is an example to us. You know, one man and God is a majority. One man and God can conquer many things. Do you know, a man once said, he said, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man wholly committed to him. The world is yet to see. All because these trials come for David doesn't mean that he was in the wrong place. David was where God wanted him to be. All because these trials come into our lives doesn't mean that we are in the wrong place. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. We are just being tried, as David was being tried here. David, up to this point, had great things happen in his life. And God allowed circumstances now to come that would try him. God allows circumstances in all of our lives to come that will try us so that he can make us more like him. God allowed King Saul to persecute David. He allowed that to happen. Do you know, trials often come on the back of great victories. David was an example to us. He stood for what was right. He didn't get proud when the women sang and praised him. He loved the Lord and followed the Lord, whatever role God put him in. Even as he was reduced to that a centurion over 1,000 soldiers, he acted wisely. The result of this is clear to see in verse 16. It says this, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and he came in before them. They loved him because he lived his life before them. His life was an example to see. He lived a godly life for all to see. And even though they could see that he was wrongly accused, he was wrongly demoted from his position, he carried himself wisely. Let's take courage from David to act wisely, even when the circumstances round about us don't always go our way. Let's make sure that we don't become jealous of others. Let's make sure that we, if there is jealousy or sin in our hearts and our minds, that we deal with it. We don't let it go on. We don't let it take further place in our lives. Let's take courage from David to follow the Lord no matter what the circumstances, no matter how small or large the task. We find David now has been taken out of the palace. Saul can't stand to look at him being around him. But we see that David, behaving himself wisely in all his ways. Let's take courage from this. As we live our lives, trials will come. Things won't always go our way. But let's take courage that we can still behave ourselves wisely and show forth the Lord to others. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. And we thank you for David and this example he is to us, Lord. Even though trials come, he behaved himself wisely. And Lord, his life stood out before the people. Lord, help us that our lives will stand out as shining lights before others around us. That, Lord, others will come to know you as Saviour, we do pray. We pray that you'll be with us this evening, be with us as we close, and we pray that you'll bless the rest of our fellowship this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.